This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Audio Journal. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. My name is Adam, and if you're looking for something to do this weekend, well, you've come to the right place. Over the next hour, we'll be making our way through a myriad of things, a plethora of options, a gaggle of possibilities, all of which you can do this weekend right here in Worcester County. So grab a seat, get comfy, and get ready, because this is Weekend Update. Welcome to Weekend Update. Well, the month of May sure went out with a bang, didn't it? Cold, rain, and even snow to round out the month. We had snow in the North Country here in New Hampshire, and even in the western parts of the state as well. And I even heard that Mount Wachusett, where good skiing is only minutes away, had wet snowflakes as well. How crazy is that? Well, June is now here, and hopefully that means better weather as we have officially started summer, at least meteorologically speaking. The summer solstice is on its way, though it hasn't arrived just yet. It is scheduled to arrive this year on June 21st, so a couple of weeks away. What has also arrived is hurricane season. That officially began this past Monday, June the 1st, and it runs until November 30th of this year. The National Oceanographic Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, which is a whole lot easier to say, has forecast a below-average hurricane season this year with between 8 and 14 named storms, and that does include tropical storms, between 3 and 6 hurricanes, and between 1 and 3 major hurricanes, all influenced by a likely strong El Niño. So, a below-average hurricane season, it's always a good thing, if it holds true, that is. That remains to be seen, but fingers crossed, let's hope it does. I don't think anybody is in the mood for a hurricane at the moment. Well, we are not here to talk about hurricanes today. We are here to talk about forests, specifically pine forests. Why pine forests? Well, because long before tea was dumped in Boston Harbor, here in New Hampshire, the colonists were already taking matters into their own hands, and they were doing it violently if they had to. And there was good reason for all of this. It involves our country's 250th anniversary, something that could not have happened without this story being told. Without this early act of resistance from the colonists of New Hampshire, there is no Boston Tea Party. There is no Declaration of Independence, and there is no American Revolution as we know it. That is how important to our nation's history this story is. And I'm speaking of the Pine Tree Riot of 1772 and a small town in New Hampshire called Ware, where it all started. As much as the colonists of Massachusetts hated the British, the colonists of New Hampshire hated them even more, especially the British Navy. The Royal Navy, as it was called, was the largest and most experienced navy in the world, and its strength was critical to Britain's global empire. In 1772, the Royal Navy already had more than 200 ships, and that count was continually growing, eventually reaching more than 250 ships by the start of the American Revolution. The Royal Navy was made up of vessels of all sizes, which included ships of the line, which was the main battle fleet. This group consisted of first, second, and third-rate ships. The determining factor when deciding which rate to classify a ship was the amount of guns that a particular ship had. So, first-rate ships had over 100 guns, second-rate ships had between 80 and 98, and third-rate ships had between 64 and 80. Which begs the question, if you had 99 guns, what rate are you? I have no idea. They didn't say. What they did say was that the 5th and the 6th rates were ships called frigates. These were smaller, faster ships used for convoy escort, reconnaissance, and commerce raiding. Unrated vessels, this is the next on the list, which were sloops, brigs, gunboats, cutters, and other small craft, used for Coastal Patrol, River Service, and local defense. These were the vessels that could get into small bays and estuaries and rivers, places where frigates and ships of the line couldn't get to because the waterway was just too small, it was too narrow, and it was too shallow for the larger ships to navigate. That's why they had these unrated vessels. Now, all of these ships required propulsion of some kind. There were no boat motors at the time, so wind was used. Wind required sails. Sails required masts. Masts were made out of wood, specifically the white pine, because it grew tall and straight, and that was crucial to a good mast. By this time, the British had run out of suitable trees in England, so they had to look elsewhere for their masts. That elsewhere turned out to be New Hampshire, where white pines grew in abundance. So naturally, that's where the British got them from. They became obsessed with these white pines, so much so that the British Parliament passed a law called the Broad Arrow Policy that claimed all large pines for the king and made it illegal for any colonists to cut them down. The New Hampshire General Court passed this act on May 10, 1708, in an effort to preserve all trees in the province of New Hampshire suitable for masts for use by the Royal Navy. The act replicated a 1691 law in England and declared that all pines with a diameter greater than 24 inches to be the property of the Crown. Violators faced a fine of £50 for each illegally harvested tree. In 1722, a new law reduced the diameter of pine trees to 12 inches. They needed so many masts, they decided, we can go all the way down to a foot in diameter, and those are still going to be good enough. This effectively meant that all of the white pines in New Hampshire that were over 12 inches in diameter belonged to the King of England, and could not be cut down without a royal license. The king even went so far as to appoint surveyors of the king's woods to identify all suitable mast pines and mark them with his arrow. And that's where the name Broad Arrow Policy comes from. And he did this so that there could be no doubt that they belonged to him and him alone. The colonists couldn't touch them. They could only look at them. In other words, this was the Crown's way of giving the middle finger to the colonists of New Hampshire. Now, this law was enforced, but it was not strictly enforced because it just didn't sit well with anybody living in New Hampshire at the time. It wouldn't be strictly enforced until John Wentworth was appointed the governor of New Hampshire in 1766. John was sympathetic to the colonists, but this was an issue he held firm on, strictly enforcing the laws that were in place. John Sherman, who was the deputy surveyor of New Hampshire, ordered a search of all the sawmills to see if anybody was in possession of white pine marked for the crown. This survey was done in 1771 and 1772. John's men found that six mills in Gostown and Ware were in possession of large white pines marked with broad arrows, indicating they belonged to the crown. The owners of the mills were named as offenders in the February 7, 1772 edition of the New Hampshire Gazette, the newspaper of the time. The men hired lawyer Samuel Blodgett to represent them. Samuel met with Governor John Wentworth, who promptly offered Samuel a job as surveyor of the king's woods. Well, naturally, Samuel accepted the position, and instead of getting the charges dropped, he told his clients that they were out of luck. They would have to pay a settlement to the crown. Well, the mill owners of Gostown paid their fines at once, and they had their logs returned to them. The mill owners from Ware, however, refused. On April 13, 1772, Sheriff Benjamin Whiting of Hillsborough County and his deputy, John Quigley, were sent to South Ware with a warrant to arrest the leader of the Ware mill owners, Ebenezer Mudgett. Ebenezer was subsequently released with the promise and understanding that he would come back in the morning to pay his bail. Well, Ebenezer went home, and Sheriff Whiting and Deputy Quigley went to spend the night at an inn called, somewhat ironically, the Pine Tree Tavern. When Ebenezer got home, he was not alone. He was met by a group of many of the townspeople who had gathered at his home. A few of the men offered to help Ebenezer pay his bail, but he refused them because he had no intention of paying his bail. The majority of the men, though, wanted to run the sheriff and the deputy right out of town, and that ultimately is what they decided to do. At dawn the next day, led by Ebenezer himself, between 30 and 40 men went to the tavern where Sheriff Whiting and Deputy Quigley were staying. Whiting was still in bed when Ebenezer burst in on him. With their faces blackened with soot for disguise, more than 20 men rushed into Whiting's room and began to beat him with tree branches, giving him one lash for every tree being contested. The sheriff tried to grab his pistols, but he was thoroughly outnumbered. Rioters grabbed him by his arms and his legs, hoisted him up, face to the floor, while others continued to mercilessly assault him with tree switches. The sheriff would later report that he was certain the men would kill him, but they didn't. That was never their intent. All they wanted was for the sheriff and the deputy to get the heck out of town. Instead, they pulled Deputy Quigley from his room and gave him the very same treatment. They also maimed the two men's horses. And I won't go into detail about what they did, because it is quite disturbing. They didn't kill the horses, and they didn't maim them in such a way that the horses couldn't leave town. But they did inflict some damage on the horses, and it is quite graphic, so I won't go into detail here. They then forced the men to ride out of town through a gauntlet of jeering townspeople who shouted at them and slapped them as they headed down the road to Gosstown. Well, naturally, the sheriff was incensed. So he engaged Colonel Moore of Bedford and Edward Goldstone Ludwig of Merrimack to assemble a posse of soldiers to go after the perpetrators. The rioters ran and hid in the woods before the posse arrived. One of the men suspected of assaulting Whiting was located, arrested, and promptly revealed the names of all of the other men involved. 8 of the men who attacked the sheriff, including Ebenezer, were arrested and charged with assault, rioting, and going against the peace of our Lord the King, his crown, and dignity. 4 judges, Theodore Atkinson, Meshach Ware, Leverett Hubbard, and William Parker, heard the case in the Superior Court in Amherst in September of 1722. All of the men pleaded guilty, and the judges fined them 20 shillings each and ordered them to pay the cost of the court hearing. 20 shillings is the equivalent of a parking ticket today. While the riot resulted in only light fines, the ramifications of it were huge. By demonstrating that British policies were defiable, the riot helped to inspire the Boston Tea Party in 1773. The colonists of Massachusetts said, "Hey, if the people of New Hampshire can stand up to the crown, so can we." And they did, by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. This was also effectively the start of the American Revolution. Timothy Worthley, Jonathan Worthley, and William Dustin, 3 of the men charged in the Pine Tree Riot, all fought on the American side in the Revolutionary War. Sheriff Whiting fought for the British and had his land confiscated as a loyalist. Meshach Ware, one of the judges, assisted in framing the New Hampshire Constitution, which was adopted in 1776, establishing its own government and becoming the first colony to declare its independence. Meshach Ware would go on to become the first president of New Hampshire. Samuel Blodgett, who was the lawyer that the rioters hired to represent them, also fought on the American side in the Revolutionary War. He would go on to construct the first canal around the Amiskag Falls on the Merrimack River in Derryfield, completed shortly before his death in 1807. In 1810, the town of Derryfield changed its name to Manchester, New Hampshire, in honor of Samuel's vision that the Amiskag Falls would someday power a manufacturing center to rival Manchester in England. There is also a Blodgett Street in Manchester named in Samuel's honor as well. By the way, that manufacturing center in Manchester, New Hampshire, not only rivaled the one in Manchester, England, it grew to become the largest cotton textile plant in the world. So Samuel Blodgett's vision came true. Now, the Pine Tree Riot wasn't New Hampshire's only significant contribution to the Revolution. 1 year after the Boston Tea Party, Paul Revere rode up to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, to warn John Langdon and the Sons of Liberty that the British might reinforce Fort William and Mary on Newcastle Island. As a result, some 400 men stormed the fort, overpowered the 6 British soldiers stationed there, quite easily, and seized 97 barrels of gunpowder. This was the first organized, large-scale armed attack against the British Crown. Much of the gunpowder that was captured during this raid was later used by the colonial militia during the Battle of Bunker Hill. As for Governor John Wentworth, he would flee his home in Portsmouth 6 months later. He and his family escaped to Fort William and Mary in Portsmouth Harbor. After the fort's cannons were removed by British warships in August of 1775, the Wentworths boarded a British warship to sail to Boston, which was now under attack. From there, they accompanied the British fleet to Nova Scotia, where John Wentworth would live out the rest of his life. He would be appointed Lieutenant Governor of Nova Scotia in 1795, a position he served until 1808. He would eventually be knighted and made a baronet in 1795. John Wentworth passed away in 1820 in Halifax, Nova Scotia. He was 83 years old. Hints of the Pine Tree Riot and its importance are scattered throughout revolutionary symbolism. Remember the controversy over the pine tree flag that flew over the New Jersey vacation home of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito? A version of that flag flew over the Patriot soldiers at the Battle of Bunker Hill. And when the Massachusetts legislature created a state navy in 1776, it formally passed a resolution adopting the pine tree flag as the official colors. And you've got New Hampshire to thank for that. The pine tree is an enduring symbol of liberty and defiance today. It is a reminder to all of us that free people do not bow down to faraway rulers who try to say, "Hey, your stuff is my stuff." If you need proof, ask yourself this. Have you ever seen a flag with bags of tea on it? I didn't think so. So that's the story of the Pine Tree Riot, which is a pretty neat piece of history and a pretty important one, too. It is celebrated in the town of Ware with a big to-do, featuring speakers, elected officials, and members of the town as well. It's a big tradition for the folks of Ware, and they celebrate it proudly every year in April. And now, you know why. Well, we've got some more interesting bits of history coming up as we continue to get ready for our 250th birthday on July 4th, so make sure you stay tuned for those in the next couple of weeks. For now, we've got some weekend planning to do, but before we do that, I have to make an apology to you. I completely forgot that the Worcester Bravehearts were starting their season last week, and I neglected to mention them here. And for that, I do apologize. I am sorry. The Bravehearts are in action this week, and we'll be talking about those games as well as your Woo Sox a little bit later on in the program. So make sure you stick around for that. And now, without any further ado, on to the weekend. Mechanics Hall is largely quiet except for the graduations that came to an end, at least in Mechanics Hall, on June the 5th with the commencement ceremonies for Millbury High School. There is one concert this week, but it is for 6th graders only, so we will skip right over that and head instead to the Hanover Theater for the Performing Arts, where there is one show scheduled for this weekend. Teresa Caputo will be at the Hanover Theater. Recognized as one of the most renowned mediums for over 20 years, you might know her as the Long Island Medium. She will be on stage on Thursday, June 11th at 7:30 p.m. Her show runs approximately 2 hours with no intermission, so definitely a good idea to stop by the comfort station on your way into the theater. Your bladder will thank you later. Tickets range in price from $65 all the way up to $115, depending on where you choose to sit in the theater. To purchase your tickets, you can head to thehanovertheater.org. Or you can give the box office a phone call at 877-571-7469. 877-571-7469. Indian Ranch down in Webster is opening for the summer this coming weekend, and it's getting ready to start its 2026 Sun Cruiser Summer Concert Series this Sunday. Now, the Indian Princess is not running just yet. Its first tour is scheduled for June 27th. But like we said, there is a concert this weekend. It is Little Feat, spelled F-E-A-T, the Last Farewell Tour. Little Feat plays a genre-blending stew of New Orleans R&B, country, rock, funk, and jazz, and have earned admiration from the Rolling Stones, to Bonnie Raitt, to Cher, to even Led Zeppelin. They will be performing on Sunday, June 7th at 1 p.m. The gates will open at 11:30. Tickets range in price from $53.15 all the way up to $380, depending on where you choose to sit in the concert venue. There are three VIP packages being offered as well. The first is the front row experience. This gets you one front row ticket, a pre-show meet and greet with the band. Not all of the band members may be present. Remember, they are getting ready for a show. You'll also get one signed show set list, one signed Little Feat pennant, one exclusive Little Feat tour print, and one commemorative VIP laminate. The next on the list is the meet and greet experience. You'll get one premium reserved ticket, a pre-show meet and greet with the band, one signed Little Feat pennant, one exclusive Little Feat tour print, and one commemorative VIP laminate. And the last VIP package on the list is the VIP merch package. This includes everything the meet and greet experience has, except for the meet and greet with the band. I don't know how much any of the VIP packages cost, as the website did not say. So if you are interested in one of the VIP packages, my recommendation would be to give Indian Ranch a phone call to reserve that package. And I'll give you the phone number in just a moment. Some things to know if you are going to the concert at Indian Ranch. General admission is available on a first-come, first-served basis and may result in standing room only. If you leave the venue for any reason, you will not be allowed to re-enter it for any reason. There is on-site parking, which you can pay for when you get there. They accept cash only, so make sure you've got some in your wallet when you go. You are allowed to bring in 1 gallon clear plastic freezer bag that does not exceed 11 inches by 11 inches in size. A bag that is clear plastic, vinyl, or PVS that does not exceed 12 inches by 12 inches by 6 inches in size. A small wristlet or handheld wallet with or without a handle or a strap that does not exceed 8 inches by 5 inches by 2 inches. You can also bring in stadium cushions no wider than 15 inches that you can use to sit on the benches. It'll make them a little bit more comfortable for you. You are not allowed to bring in coolers, beach chairs, large bags, backpacks, or strollers. If you bring with you a small purse or one of the clear bags that we just described, they will be searched when you enter. There are no food or drinks allowed, with the exception of one 16-ounce sealed bottle of water. If you need to bring in any items that are related to a medical condition, they ask that you stop by the front desk on your way in to let them know. Now, you also have the option of purchasing tickets in the Samuel Slater's Concert Club. If you do, you will receive access to Samuel Slater's restaurant from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. The restaurant closes promptly at 2:30. No access will be given to the club after 2:30, and the bar may close even earlier. You'll also get a reserved table, access to the full-service bar, which is not included in the price, private bathrooms, access to and from the concert area during club hours, and the restaurant menu will be available to you, and that also is not included in the price. Keep in mind that you do still need a concert ticket if you are planning on attending the concert. Your Samuel Slater's Concert Club ticket will not get you into the concert. It's just to get you into the club. So pricing for the concert club looks like this. Bar seating, you can get bar seating for one person for $25, a table for two for $40, a table for four is $80, and a table for six is $120. To purchase your tickets, including for the Samuel Slater's Concert Club, you can head to IndianRanch.com or you can give them a phone call at 508-943-3871. You can also use this same phone number for reserving handicapped accessible seating. Again, that phone number is 508-943-3871. If you do call, please note that the box office is open on Wednesday and Saturday only, from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on both of those days. And I'll give you the number, the telephone number, that is, one more time, 508-943-3871. Indian Ranch is located at 200 Gore Road in Webster, which is also the address for Samuel Slater's restaurant. And they have a veterans-only event coming up this week in celebration of Flag Day. This is a Veterans Flag Day celebration in the Waterfront Room on Wednesday, June 10th at 2 p.m. There will be a lunch served as part of the celebration. The menu features pasta, meatballs, bread, salad, and dessert. There will also be a flag retirement ceremony. So if you have a flag that you would like to retire, you may bring it with you. Reservations are required if you would like to attend the Veterans Flag Day celebration. You can make a reservation by calling 508-943-3871 and then dial extension 110. Again, 508-943-3871 and extension 110. When you call, make sure you give your name, your phone number, and the branch of service that you served in. Again, the telephone number is 508-943-3871, and then dial extension 110. Moving on to an outdoor craft fair, an indoor yard sale. This is Saturday, June the 6th, from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Worcester, at 140 Shore Drive. There will be a variety of crafters on hand selling their wares, a yard sale with clothing, housewares, toys, games, and furniture, plus a native plant sale, live music from the Hipswayers to get your hips moving, and the Dog Father food truck will be serving delicious bites as well. And all of this is being held rain or shine. Again, it's Saturday, June the 6th, from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Worcester at 140 Shore Drive. This next event was listed in three different locations in three different ways, so it left me scratching my head a little bit because I was a bit confused, not because I had an itch. Although, funnily enough, I did have an itch at the same time, but it was on the other side of my head. So both hands were up there scratching for two very different reasons. But I digress. The event I'm speaking of was listed as the Food Truck and Craft Beverage Festival, the 15th Annual Worcester Food Truck and Craft Beverage Festival, and the 12th Annual Worcester Food Truck and Craft Beer Festival. And this was all on one website, no less. So this festival is heading back to Worcester for the 12th time, the 15th time, or perhaps they don't really know, or they can't remember how many times they've been to Worcester. I don't really know. What I do know is that this festival is being held on Saturday, June the 6th, from 12 p.m. until 5 p.m. on the Worcester Common Oval. Food trucks on hand will be serving crispy golden egg rolls packed with savory and sweet fillings, fresh squeezed lemonade, homemade paninis, Maine lobster rolls dripping in flavor, wood-fired pizza straight out of the oven, classic whoopie pies, hearty Venezuelan street eats, bold bites from Indian and Mexican street food favorites, and plenty more local favorites that taste like home with every bite. And because no New England weekend is complete without a good drink in hand, dozens of regional and national craft brews will be poured to keep the good vibes flowing. Those vibes will be enhanced by live music and outdoor games for the whole family to enjoy. All of this is happening Saturday, June the 6th, from 12 p.m. until 5 p.m. There is an early entry VIP hour that starts at 11 a.m. There is also a last call for beer, but again, they made this confusing as well. They list last call as either half an hour before the festival ends, or at 4:45, which is 15 minutes before the festival ends. No idea which one is accurate. This is a rain or shine event. If you go, they recommend and they welcome you to bring a lawn chair with you so that you have some place to sit down to enjoy your drinks and your meal. If you are planning on driving to the festival, please note that street parking will be closed on Front Street. So it is recommended that you use the Worcester Common Parking Garage nearby. If that one is full, you can use either the Union Station Garage or the Pearl Elm Garage. Those are going to be your three closest garages. The WRTA will also be running on Saturday. You can head to therta.com to find your route. Tickets for the festival are $5 in advance or $10 at the gate. Children 10 and under are free. All military members can get in for free as well. There are also several VIP options. There is a Foodies VIP for $20 in advance. You can only purchase this online. And with this VIP ticket, you get early entry at 11 a.m. You also get one free dessert from the VIP dessert truck and a bottle of water. Then there is the Beverage Lovers Package for $32 in advance. Again, you can only purchase this online. You get early admission at 11 a.m., three craft drinks of your choice. You can choose from local brews, crisp ciders, wine, or canned cocktails, whatever you're in the mood for. You also get a koozie to keep your drink of choice cold while you enjoy the day. And you also get a bottle of water. Then there is the Beverage 6 package. This is for those who love their beer. You get early entry at 11 a.m., six craft drinks of your choosing, a koozie to keep your drinks cold, and, of course, a bottle of water because you do need to stay hydrated. To purchase any of these packages in advance or your regular admission tickets, you can go to www.foodtruckfestivalsofamerica.com. That's all one word, please, so smush them together, but not too hard, because if you do, you'll jumble the letters, and there's no telling where you're going to end up. www.foodtruckfestivalsofamerica.com/Worcester. And then when you get there, click on tickets in the red box on the right-hand side of the page, and you'll be on your way. While you're on that website, scroll down past the description of the event and you'll find a map of the Worcester Common Oval that shows the layout of the festival. It'll show you where the beer tents are, where the artisans will be set up, where the entry gate is, where the food trucks are, and where the first aid and restrooms are located. And those restrooms, by the way, are going to be porta-potties. You can save this map to your phone so that you can reference it if needed while you are at the festival. If you scroll down the page even further past the map, you'll find complete lists of all of the food trucks that will be at the festival and what they'll be selling. And below that, you'll find all of the brews that will be poured. And below that, you'll find a list of all of the artisans and what they'll be selling. So lots of good information on the festival website, which again is www.foodtruckfestivalsofamerica.com/Worcester. www.foodtruckfestivalsofamerica.com/Worcester. There is another food truck festival going on this Friday. It is out in Shrewsbury. Get ready for a delicious evening out at the Maple Avenue Fields at this food truck festival where 20 diverse food and beverage vendors will be serving up everything from savory treats to sweet treats and refreshing drinks. Enjoy live music from the Tipton Rock Band throughout the evening while kids dive into fun activities designed just for them, creating the perfect blend of flavor, entertainment, and community spirit. This is on Friday, June the 5th, from 4 p.m. until 7:30 at the Maple Avenue Fields at 176 Maple Avenue in Shrewsbury. The festival is open to the public, and it is completely free to attend. There is a kids' market coming up as well. This is a market run entirely by kids aged 5 to 17. This means that the kids made up all of the products that they will be selling. They set up their own booths, and they'll be selling their products all by themselves. This weekend, they will be selling their products at the Wachusett Brewing Company at 117 State Road East in Westminster on Sunday, June 7th, from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. Now, if you can't make it out to Westminster this weekend, not a problem. The kids' market will be visiting the Lilac Hedge Farm in Rutland on June 21st, and the Fitchburg Waterfront Park on July 3rd, all of the kids' markets are free to attend. Out in Hubbardston, they are throwing their 10th annual Hubbardston Fair. There will be entertainment for all ages, lots of local artists and handmade crafters to shop from, live music, and plenty of delicious food. Feel free to bring along a camp chair or a blanket with you and pick a spot on the field to spend your day. This is Saturday, June 6th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. The rain date is scheduled for the very next day, Sunday, June 7th, also from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. The Hubbardston Fair is taking place at the Curtis Recreational Field and Playground at 20 Gardner Road in Hubbardston. As always, the fair is free to enter, and parking is free as well. There is another festival going on this weekend at Institute Park here in Worcester. It is the AMC 150 Worcester East-West Trails Fest. The Appalachian Mountain Club is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year. Part of the celebration is the AMC 150 Worcester East-West Trails Fest. This event coincides with National Trails Day. The Worcester event is co-hosted by the Worcester chapter of the AMC and Worcester's own Park Spirit, which oversees the East-West Trail across the city of Worcester. At this event, trails in all forms will be celebrated, including hiking trails, bike paths, waterways, and climbing routes. The event at Institute Park will begin at noon and continue until 4 p.m. on Saturday, June the 6th. There will be food, live music, speakers, friends, and a whole lot of fun. And the best part is, it is completely free to attend. Down in Whitensville, they are throwing a picnic in the park at the Whiten Community Center. This is Saturday, June the 6th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Spanning 7.5 acres of lush green space, Whiten Park will play host to a day filled with fun, food, and festivities. Attendees can look forward to a family-friendly event that features a diverse array of vendors, showcasing the best our community has to offer, from handmade crafts to local services and more. Food enthusiasts will be delighted by the assortment of food trucks serving up delicious eats and treats throughout the day. Live entertainment will be featured as well, including performances from local talent. For those seeking thrills, the Splash Zone is back and promises to be a splash hit, offering a chance for attendees to dunk local celebrities and community figures. Participants can also join interactive live classes, play pickleball, and engage in other activities. Kids will have a blast with a variety of activities designed just for them, ensuring that the youngest members of our community have a day to remember. And that day is Saturday, June the 6th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Whiten Park at 60 Main Street in Whitensville. And this festival is, or this picnic in the park, I should say, is free to attend. Heading next to the DCU Center for two concerts, the first one is Journey, the Final Frontier Tour 2026. After more than 5 decades of electrifying performances, chart-topping hits, and timeless anthems, the iconic rock band Journey is saying goodbye the only way they know how, with a thunderous full-throttle tour that is making a stop in Worcester this Saturday, June the 6th, at 7:30. The doors to the DCU Center will open at 6:30. Tickets for Journey are available through the AXS website, which is www.axs.com. You can find the link for that website at dcucenter.com, or you can just type in www.axs.com and then search for the Journey concert at the DCU Center. That said, I was not able to get the AXS website working. I was able to get to AXS itself, but when I tried to purchase tickets for Journey, that part of the website did not work for me. So I would recommend giving the AXS customer service department a phone call if you run into the same problem that I had. The telephone number is 888-929-7849. 888-929-7849. 7849. If customer service is not able to help you, you do have another option. You can also get tickets for Journey through SeatGeek.com. There are still seats available for the concert, although they are limited in quantity. The cheapest seats I could find at SeatGeek are $122, and those are way up in section 308. The good news is that while you'll be far from the stage, you'll still be able to hear the music from there. The most expensive tickets I could find are $568, and those are in the second row, right in front of the stage, which for me would be a little bit too close. I like to have my distance from the performers. I don't need to be right up there with them. So, try Access, and if you can get Access to work, that's great. If not, then use SeatGeek. They work every time. Coming up on Tuesday, June 9th at 7 p.m., Forrest Frank, the Jesus Generation Tour, will be at the DCU Center. Grammy-nominated and GMA Dove Award-winning artist Forrest Frank has announced the Jesus Generation Tour, with special guests Tori Kelly, Corey Asbury, and The Figs. The Jesus Generation Tour follows Frank's completely sold-out Child of God Tour Part 2, this time featuring an in-the-round stage. Fans will be greeted by The Figs as they arrive. Corey Asbury will lead in worship, and Tori Kelly will open the night by guiding the crowd into Forrest Frank's headlining set. As we mentioned, the DCU Center is set up in a theater-in-the-round style for this event. Seating is available around the stage as well as in other sections of the arena. The only section blocked off for seating is Section 117, and that's because the performers need a way to get to and from the stage, and Section 117 has been blocked off for this purpose. Tickets range in price from $40 all the way up to $1,000, depending how close to the stage you would like to get. Tickets are available through the Access website, www.axs.com. You can type that in and go directly there, or you can head to dcucenter.com and follow the link on the event page there. For this concert, the website worked for me with no issues, so I think you should be okay using it too. Again, the website is www.axs.com, and then search for this concert there, and you'll be on your way. The Worcester Art Museum is celebrating Pride Month this weekend with free admission on Sunday, June 7th. The entire museum will be available to you for free from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. this Sunday. There will be special tours, a drag show, art-making activities, a color guard performance, and much, much more. And all of this is free to you this Sunday, June 7th, at the Worcester Art Museum. Well, as we mentioned earlier in the program, we would be talking baseball at some point today, and that point has arrived. And we'll start with your Worcester WooSox, who have three games this weekend. They will be taking on the Buffalo Bisons on Friday, June 5th. First pitch is scheduled for 6.05 p.m. Peanut Allergy Friendly Week continues. It is Town Takeover Night. They will be celebrating all things Natick. It is also Irish Heritage Night. The festivities will begin with on-field ceremonies featuring Irish music, dance, and community groups. The national anthem, as well as a post-game concert, will be performed by legendary Irish musicians Derek Warfield and the Young Wolf Tones, featuring Worcester's own Brendan Keenan. And then, as this is a Friday night game, the Unibank Fireworks Show will go on as planned. Tonight's theme is Luck of the Irish. Now, what I didn't understand or couldn't find out from the WooSox is whether the post-game concert will be happening at the same time as the fireworks, or if the concert will be first and then the fireworks will follow the concert. I wasn't able to figure that out from the website, so I guess you'll just have to go to find out. Your Worcester WooSox will be taking on the visiting Buffalo Bisons once again on Saturday, June 6th. First pitch is scheduled for 4.05 p.m. Peanut Allergy Friendly Week continues. There will also be a youth clinic for fans between the ages of 7 and 14, and that will be held in the morning at Polar Park. After the game, you are welcome to stick around and enjoy a game of sunset catch on the field. Then your WooSox will round out their home game stand against the Buffalo Bisons on Sunday, June the 7th at 1.05 p.m. Peanut Allergy Friendly Week will conclude. It is Heart Health Awareness Day. It is also Town Takeover. They will be celebrating all things Holden at this afternoon's game. Kids will have the opportunity to run the bases after the game, and they are giving away a bobblehead. The first 5,000 fans will receive a Clara, the Heart of the Commonwealth bobblehead, so make sure you get there early to get your bobblehead. After this, your WooSox will be hitting the road for 2 weeks. That means they won't be back home until June 23rd. And, of course, we'll tell you about those games when the time comes. For now, to purchase your tickets for any of these home games or any other WooSox home game, you have your usual options. You can go to www.milb.com/Worcester. You can go to www.polarpark.com. You can visit the box office at 100 Madison Street, or you can give the box office a good old-fashioned ringy-dingy at 508-500-1000. That's 508-500-1000. Your Worcester Bravehearts opened their regular season on the road in Westfield on May 27th. They followed this with their home opener on May 28th against Vermont. Home game number two was on May 29th against the same Vermont team. Then the Bravehearts hit the road for games in Norwich and Westfield before returning home on June 2nd and 3rd for games against Lowell. On Thursday, June 4th, the Bravehearts were down in New Britain, Connecticut, taking on the Bees. On Friday, June 5th, the Bravehearts are up in Nashua, New Hampshire, taking on the Silver Knights. On their way home, they will make a stop in Lowell on Saturday, June the 6th. They will be home on Sunday, that's this coming Sunday, June the 7th, against the visiting Norwich Sea Unicorns. First pitch is scheduled for 4 p.m. on Sunday. After this, the Bravehearts will be hitting the road once again, this time making stops in Vermont on Tuesday and Wednesday, June 9th and 10th, and then wrapping up their road trip in New Britain, Connecticut on Thursday, June 11th. They will then be home for a four-game homestand starting next Friday, and we'll tell you more about those games next week right here on Weekend Update. Single tickets for any of these games are available now, as are season passes, half-season passes, and flex packs. To purchase any of these options, you've got two choices. You can head to www.WorcesterBraveheartsStore.com, www.WorcesterBraveheartsStore.com, or you can call 508-438-3773. That's the telephone number for the box office. Again, that number is 508-438-3773. Well, it is time now to head to the movies, specifically Regal Cinemas and their Family Movie Express. Every week from June 1st through August 13th, that is summer vacation, starting at 11 a.m. Monday through Thursday of those weeks, you can get a Summer Movie Express ticket for just $1. That's right, just $1. That's a great deal right there. All attendees of a Summer Movie Express title will receive $3 off of a snack pack as well. That snack pack includes a junior-sized drink of your choice, popcorn, and fruit gummies. Or you can switch those gummies out for a cup of refreshingly cold Dippin' Dots ice cream. The Summer Movie Express is available at the Regal Solomon Pond Mall at 591 Donald Lynch Boulevard in Marlboro. That is the closest Regal Cinemas to Worcester. Now, the big question is, what are they going to be showing on the big screen? Well, I've got the schedule for you. The week of June 8th through 11th, which is next week, they'll be showing a movie called David, and then Kung Fu Panda 4. I had no idea they were already up to four movies in the Kung Fu Panda franchise. Guess I'm a little behind there, huh? June 15th through the 19th, they'll be showing K-pop Demon Hunters and Sing Along. K-pop Demon Hunters are all the rage. I haven't seen it myself, but I hear it's wildly popular among the younger generation. After that, they'll be showing The Wild Robot. On June 22nd through the 25th, they will be showing The Bad Guys 2, and that is followed by The Garfield Movie. On June 29th through July 2nd, they'll be showing a Minecraft movie, and that will be followed by Sonic the Hedgehog 2. July 6th through the 9th, they will be showing How to Train Your Dragon, and that'll be followed by Sonic the Hedgehog 3. I didn't know they were up to 3 Sonic the Hedgehogs either. Just shows that I haven't been to the movies in a long, long time, which is very true. I haven't. Now, on July 13th through the 16th, they'll be showing a movie called Scoob, which I can only assume has something to do with Scooby-Doo. After that, they'll be showing Animal Farm. On July 20th through the 23rd, they will be showing Animal Farm again. After that, they'll be showing the SpongeBob movie, The Search for SquarePants. I wonder if that means SpongeBob went missing. I'm not up on my SpongeBob storylines either. On July 27th through the 30th, they'll be showing Dog Man, and then after that, Paddington in Peru. I did see the first Paddington movie, and I did enjoy it, but I have not seen Paddington's trip to Peru. That is where he's from. His family lives there, so I can only assume that he's going to visit them, and then getting into some kind of trouble while he's there in Peru. On August 3rd through the 6th, they will be showing Charlie the Wonder Dog, and then they'll be showing another movie that I didn't know they had so many of, Despicable Me 4. They're up to number 4 in the Despicable Me franchise. And then they'll wrap up their Summer Movie Express season on August 10th through the 13th with 2 classic movies for the summertime, The Sandlot and Muppet Treasure Island. Again, all of these movies are available to watch on the Summer Movie Express at the Regal Cinemas at Solomon Pond Mall, Monday through Thursday, and they all start at 11 a.m. You can purchase your tickets at www.regmovies.com, www.regmovies.com, or you can wait until you get there and purchase your $1 tickets then. Pick Your Own Strawberry season is almost here, and to help you get ready for it, here are a couple of local Worcester County farms that are offering strawberries for picking. We'll start with Cordelia's Farm in Berlin. Her telephone number is 978-838-2942, 978-838-2942. Next on the list is the Verrill Farm in Concord. They have a strawberry hotline number, and that number is 978-245-7311. 978-245-7311. Next on the list is the Hollis Hills Farm out in Fitchburg. Their telephone number is 978-696-3130. 978-696-3130. You can also go to Tugas Family Farm in Northborough. Their telephone number is 508-393-6406. 508-393-6406. And last, but by no means least, is Norse Farm in Westboro. Their telephone number is 508-366-2644. 508-366-2644. You can also go to the following website to see what today's picking conditions are at Norse Farm. www.norsefarm, Norse is spelled N-O-U-R-S-E, so that's www.norsefarm.com/today's-picking. Many of these farms are scheduled to open for strawberry picking in about a week or two. Tugas Family Farm in Northborough has already opened. They did so on May the 30th. If you decide to go strawberry picking, make sure to dress comfortably for the weather, and remember, you will get dirty. Strawberries are built close to the ground, so you'll have to get down low to pick them. Make sure you wear a hat and sunscreen to protect yourself from the sun. Make sure you give the farm a phone call before you go to make sure that strawberries are actually available to pick. Conditions can and do change by the day. The majority of these pick-your-own farms provide containers for picking. Some do charge for them. So that's another question to ask when you call. If you would like to bring your own container to take your fruit home, more than likely the farm will let you transfer your berries to your own container after you pick them. Well, there's that familiar tune again, and you know what that means. It means that our time together has come to an end. Next week, our preparation for the nation's 250th birthday continues as we set the revolution record straight by debunking not one, but two facts regarding the American Revolution in Massachusetts. Tune in next week to find out why the city of Worcester holds the key to debunking these two facts. It's pretty interesting. Until then, thanks for hanging out with me for the past hour. It is always appreciated and always a pleasure. Have a great rest of your day and get out and do something fun. Take in a concert, go to a festival, peruse a craft fair, cheer on your Bravehearts and Woosocks. And if you're headed to a Summer Express movie at Regal Cinemas, enjoy the show. And remember, for the next 2 hours, your biggest responsibility is deciding whether that popcorn really needs extra butter. I think you already know the answer to that. Enjoy your movie, and I'll see you next time on Weekend Update. Weekend Update has been the production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Programming is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or in Braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or you can always go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android device. If you need to get in touch with me for any reason, you can always reach me at weekendupdate@yahoo.com. That's weekendupdate@yahoo.com. My name is Adam. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day, and join me again next week for another edition of Weekend Update.
Audio Journal, the radio reading service of Central Massachusetts, is your best source for news, information, and entertainment for individuals who are blind or otherwise unable to access print material. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like to know our broadcast schedule, go to the Audio Journal website at www.audiojournal.org or contact us, and we'll gladly send you a large print or Braille program guide. Call 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org. Audio Journal connects listeners to their local communities. Have you heard the news? Make sure everyone knows you heard it on Audio Journal.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Our poem today is The End by A.A. Milne. When I was one, I had just begun. When I was two, I was nearly new. When I was three, I was hardly me. When I was four, I was not much more. When I was five, I was just alive. But now I am six. I'm as clever as clever. So I think I'll be six now, forever and ever. You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal and read by me, Nikki Whichello. Thanks for listening. May your life be filled with poetic wonder.
Listen to Audio Journal on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. Or, Hey Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn.